It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Hey everyone, this is Kurt Franken with the Leading LDS Podcast, bringing to you another episode that I hope you will benefit from. I appreciate the many individuals that send in emails or correspondence, whichever way they are, to just let me know how you're appreciating the episodes, the content on Leading LDS, or even those that are, you know, give constructive criticisms on ways I can improve or adjust. I'm always open to that. I'm always learning and developing this resource to be more and more of a resource that you'll find valuable. I wanted to mention an email that I got from a listener, and I'll just read it here. And they asked some specific question that I thought I would just answer on the next episode. So he says, "Kurt, thank you for the wonderful Leading LDS website. I found it through looking at different approaches to tackling managing and eliciting change among leaders within a ward. And I think you are tapping into a wonderful, underutilized part of the church that needs more attention. The great leaders, and I would say the not-so-great leaders, seem to be few and far between. The adequate or just okay leaders seem to be very common. I've had this thought percolating in my head as I've had different opportunities for leadership service within the church, whether it be my experience as a young men's presidency member, which was my favorite calling, to elders' quorum presidency, to currently serving as a ward clerk. It feels like within the church, we are very efficient at things. Just look at our Sunday services. This is entirely a volunteer organization, and yet it is a near miracle to me that this volunteer organization comes week after week, ready to give talks, give lessons, lead, etc. When it comes time to mobilizing, we are extremely efficient. We can get things done, get it done quickly. If there is cost involved, we are usually right at or under a conservative budget, and we do a very professional job of doing things. But I don't know if we are very effective at things. Again, perhaps this is the nature of a lay clergy. It really takes a leader to think outside the box and risk disrupting the natural flow of things to really take the next step from efficiency to effectiveness. I view efficiency as someone who can check the box at the right time when it needs to be checked. The effective leader can check the right box at the right time and using the right people to make sure it's checked, but can also add different items to make sure it's just more than an action, that there is more behind it. So my question to you, if you were to take the biggest administrative position within the local ward, the bishopric, or be given a test lab to try out different methodologies, pilot new programs, attempt new initiatives, what would you do? Additionally, how would I, as a ward clerk, go about proposing some of these administrative changes and ideas to a bishop? How can we get people to think less about efficiency and more about effectiveness?" End of email. I appreciate that listener for sending that, and I wanted to respond to him, but I thought it was a good question, and I didn't want to write a really lengthy email, so I said, you know what, I'll respond to this question at one of my future episodes, and so that's what I wanted to do, and I appreciate his candor here, as he in the beginning talks about the things that we as a culture and the church are very good at, you know, being efficient at things. Sometimes when it becomes to being effective, maybe those items we fall short on. And I don't think it's just a Mormon problem or, you know, within the church. It's a human nature problem. And every organization is dealing with this balance between efficiency and effectiveness. And there's many articles that can be written from this concept. And going back to his question, is what I would do if I was given a test lab to try different methodologies out, what would I do? That's exactly what I'm doing with Leading LDS, is creating a platform where we can share ideas, whether no matter how crazy they are or how traditional they are, that we're still sharing ideas. And hopefully one idea is being heard by another leader, and he's saying, you know, I could do that, and this is maybe a way I could tweak it and create more effectiveness in the ward, not just efficiency. And so in regards to sharing or bringing these ideas up to a bishop, the best thing you can do is point them towards leading LDS, and here's why. I'm sure many of you have experienced a situation where, whether it's with your spouse or with a child or a friend, that you know a good solution to a problem they're facing or an idea they should try, but the fact that it's coming from you, it just doesn't penetrate their thick skull, as if they go and read a book about the subject or hear it in a conference talk, and suddenly they're more open to receiving that idea because of the source it's coming from. And so a great way, if you have a bishop or a leader, whomever it is that's not really open to new ideas, one thing you could do is just encourage them to go to a resource like Leading LDS, where we talk about various progressive and open-minded approaches to, while still remaining in the bounds and boundaries of handbooks. But we're just talking about new ideas by them coming to this third-party source. They're then more open to some of these ideas than they would be if you were just sharing them yourself. So I know that the answer to that question is maybe a little self-promoting with Leading LDS, but that's really what I'm trying to do with Leading LDS, is create a library, a catalog of various ideas, whether they're good or bad, so that leaders from around the world can come to hear the ideas and consider them for themselves. And really, I want it to be a catalyst to additional inspiration and revelation that may come to them through the authorities they hold within their respective callings. So I appreciate that email. I hope that helps and gives you an idea of what to do. And I hope it's beneficial information for everybody to hear. And I hope that you feel free to email me some of your questions, your thoughts, your ideas, new directions that you're wanting to go with your leadership. And let's talk about them. And again, this is our lab. This is our test lab that we can discuss these ideas and hopefully spread the best ideas that come to the surface and bless the church as a whole and move the gospel forward. Now, going back to the episode at hand where I interview Skyler Walker, I had the opportunity to meet representatives from Router Limits, which is a business in Layton, Utah. And I asked if I could come to their office sometime and just sit down with them and discuss what the problem is they're trying to discuss. And so here is my interview with Skyler Walker. Today, I am in Layton, Utah, sitting down with Skyler Walker, who is the CEO of Router Limits. How are you, Skyler?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Kurt.
Yeah, no problem. I'm excited to have this discussion today because it's one that impacts, whether directly or indirectly, a lot of leaders in the church. And I first became introduced to your company as I attended the UCAP conference, which is the Utah Coalition Against Pornography. They have, I believe it's a yearly conference, and have a booth area with lots of vendors and great resources. And so I went around and picked out the ones that looked most interesting and said, hey, I want to sit down with you and talk. And you were so kind to set a time I can come to your office and we could talk about protection, online protection, security, managing your home with the screen time, a lot of that too. So maybe let's first start with Skyler. Tell us about yourself. Where are you originally from?
Yeah, thanks. So I'm from Kaysville, Utah originally. I've ventured really far, currently live in Syracuse. So, you know,
nice
real distance there. we're based here in Layton and, we're trying to build what we call the world's smartest digital parenting tools.
Nice. And did you go to college?
I did. I went to BYU.
Oh, look at that.
Studied entrepreneurship and computer science.
And you ended up being an entrepreneur in the science of computers, right?
Absolutely.
Cool. Yep. Cool. And how long ago did you graduate?
Good question. It's been about 5 years now.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Great. And how many people work for Router Limits?
We've got a handful of people now. We've got 6 full-time employees here in the office and then some production and others. So,
and how did it go from you graduating from BYU and starting Router Limits?
Great question. So I'm kind of a tech guy myself, you know, I always like the devices and things. And I always felt a little bit frustrated when I watched parents getting, we'll say schooled by their kids
right.
when it comes to devices and, yeah. and really taken advantage of. And the parents not knowing what to do to get a hold of their internet and see their kids' faces at the dinner table. So we wanted to create a product that empowers the parents to take back the internet and see their kids once in a while.
Yeah, great. And so how long after you graduated did you start Router Limits?
So Router Limits, let's see. I'll just tell you from now, I mean, we've been at it for just over 2 years. A month ago, or a year ago this month, we launched a crowdfunding campaign.
Oh, wow. That through Kickstarter?
Just did it on our own website.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
We did it on our own website, and we sold out. We blew the doors off it. There was a lot of excitement. KSL took notice and ran a story, Deseret News. So we got a lot of interest and sold out. And we shipped our first product in June of last year.
Oh, great. Great. Yeah. Now, I'll be straightforward with the audience. I mean, you are a for-profit company. This isn't a paid commercial unless, I mean, if you have a suitcase full of money around here, I'm willing to consider it. But mainly, I remember my time as bishop sitting in front of somebody that's in the midst of an addiction or really can't get their... Get control over how technology, especially devices, are impacting their life, whether for good or bad. Even myself, I've got times where I'm like, I have got to stop checking my email for the 30th time of today. You know, like just walk away. You know, so there's various levels of what you can consider addiction. But as that individual sat in my bishop's office, I really didn't have a ton of resources that I could throw at him and say, well, here's some tools you can check out. So my intent, whether they're not-for-profit or for-profit companies, I want to sit down with them and really understand what their products offer so that bishops out there or Relief Society presidents or parents at least know where to start to look at resources that they can get some help. So
absolutely. And we want to be a resource too. We do have a product that I'm biased towards.
Right.
But we definitely want to be a resource in the community. And that's part of the reason we're at UCAP. You know, not only were we there as a booth sponsor and selling the product, but we were actually we spoke and shared a lot of great tools out there that a lot of people don't know about. And you know, we hardly mentioned our own product. So
cool.
We love to be there for the community.
Perfect. And that's a perfect segue into what I want to get into, because we'll talk about Router Limits and your product and what you have to offer and where people can obtain it and so forth. But let's just go through kind of what you talked about at UCAP as far as just the general approach of protecting your home from the negatives that can come through devices. And so maybe talk to us about what parents or us old people are missing when our teenager maybe is understanding technology more. What are some things to consider when kind of doing an audit on all things tech in our home?
Great. So we recommend what we call a tech audit. So what a lot of people don't realize is that nowadays everything is connected to the internet. You know, they call it the Internet of Things, where everything from your bed to your toaster to your fridge, and your smart TV are all connected. And when we're talking about pornography, anything with a screen and a web browser is an access point, which is great in one way when you're talking about technology and keeping things connected. But it's so dangerous to have all of these outlets into the home if kept unmanaged. So we recommend to take a good long look at what's in your home, and really find out where could somebody find access to pornography. And you have to think beyond your laptop and your desktop and your tablet and your phone. You have to think about gaming consoles and, like I mentioned, smart TVs, even the little handheld Nintendos, right, can be used to access pornography. And we have experience with people who've told us that their kids were exposed there. The other thing a lot of people don't realize is old cell phones. Even if they don't have a cell plan activated, if they have access to Wi-Fi, they can be used to access things. So, you know, somebody goes and digs one of those out of a drawer, connects it up to your wireless, and it's unprotected. They have access to everything out there.
Wow. And it's amazing. You know, you go back 100 years or even 50, 40 years, where people, you know, we always make the observation, or people in their 60s say, well, if I wanted to access pornography as a child, I had to go into the drugstore, go way in the back of the room or of the store and access it very indirectly. And now we trip over it even on our computers. And now to think that, you know, fridges and toasters and all these things that are connected to the internet, if they have a screen, I'm sure, you know, marketers in general are going to try and market through there, and which means that people with ill intent are going to try and access some of these devices and just get in front of you, because that's where the addiction started. Even with, you mentioned these gaming consoles, you know, I remember as a young child just loving Nintendo and playing it, and my parent never thought, you know, they would review the games I'm playing or whatever, but never was it a possibility that there I would come across something that could lead me to an addiction. But now that's really the reality.
Right? It is the reality. And we, unfortunately, I know people that are working through that because of, you know, those small handheld devices and just not realizing the access that they had. You know, we joke about the toasters, right? And being connected, but that really is, it's everything is becoming connected. And as our world progresses that way, we need to follow up.
Yeah. Yeah. So walk us through, and I know you did a presentation at UCAP where you really, you know, you did some screenshots and showed people how to tweak some settings, but maybe just generally speaking, let's go through some of these things that a bishop could encourage or a parent could encourage an individual to do to really start protecting themselves. You've talked about devices. What about Google searches? I know, I think we've all had the instance where we search something in Google, something innocent, and I was like, whoa, I don't know what is happening. I'm clicking the back button as quickly as I can, but what are some things we can do as far as Google searches?
Absolutely. So Google has a really cool tool that's called the Google Safe Search. And I'm a huge fan. And you can't beat it. It's built by Google, right? I mean,
they own the internet, yeah, per se.
So when you have a tech giant like Google behind it, it's definitely a good tool. On Google, whenever you do a search, you'll see up in the top right, there's a little drop down and it says Google Safe Search, and it's enabled or disabled, and you can turn it on and off. And we recommend enabling that. There are some features in there that you can lock it on and things, but you need to be careful because that's really, it's called cookie based. So it's very easy to actually clear it off and turn it off. You have to treat that as it's as easy to turn off as it is to turn on, but it is a great tool to keep the searches innocent, and not stumble into things. One of the best parts is the image, Google image search. I'm going to use that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's a great tool, but it can be, you know, really filthy.
Right.
But turning on the Google Safe Search cleans that up. Now, it's not perfect.
Yeah.
But it sure helps a lot.
Yeah. And I don't know, I think there's ways that even if something, you do have Google Safe Search on and something, you know, may not be hardcore pornography, but something that you're just not comfortable, you can almost, can you report that to Google and say, do you know, maybe you don't know.
I think they do have a little reporting tool. I don't have much experience with that.
What about, and this is an entity of Google, YouTube is one I hear a lot where, you know, I'm just watching this cute kitty, you know, fall over into a pool. And on the right side, I've got this image that, again, it's not hardcore pornography, but it's definitely leading to something that's very close. Any tips as far as YouTube? They have similar settings?
They have similar settings. And we've all been there where maybe you're showing your kid or somebody a video you think's great. And at the end, the recommended videos come up. And, you know, you just about slam the computer shut.
Yeah.
Once again, they have a similar thing. They used to call it YouTube Safety Mode. That's still kind of the common name, but they've actually changed it to be restricted mode. Scroll to the very bottom of the page on YouTube. Look for it there in the middle. It's restricted mode, and you can turn it on, and that'll help clean up the recommended videos, both on the sidebar and after a video plays. Fair warning on it. The Google Safe Search is great. A very, very few times have I had an issue with that. A lot of people complain about the YouTube safety mode or the restricted mode because of the way, you know, it has to have some algorithms to decide what is safe and what's not. And that can be based on comments, right? And where there's a lot of good, there's also a lot of bad. So some of the examples are General Conference. Some talks are often blocked. Studio C out of BYU, people complain that's blocked.
Oh, really?
Okay. But I think you have a lot of, you know, quote unquote haters.
Yeah.
Commenting in the comments, and so YouTube flags it as probably not an appropriate video or something.
Yeah,
so.
it's definitely a tactic, but not a perfect one. I remember counseling with individuals as a bishop, and they'd say, you know, I put these filters on there and adjust the settings, but. And now I can't get into sites that I need for school for some reason. You know, they've blocked that, whether, again, it's for comments or whatever. So, again, not perfect, but that's a good starting point.
A quick starting point.
Fix there. Yep.
And to put in a shameless plug for what we're doing here, we provide a tool you can lock those on so that you can set it on for your kid and he doesn't actually turn it off.
Oh, interesting. Cool.
End of shameless plug.
That's fine. This can be full of shameless plugs. So now we live in a world of Netflix. It's such an interesting, as I look back, 10, 15 years of how I watch TV and consume media. Now, you know, I live in an HOA that they provide cable to me, but I literally don't even hook my TV up unless, again, maybe general conference. I think, oh, I don't want to stream it. I just want to come through the local television channel. But I literally don't connect my computer to cable because I use, you know, a Chromecast, or I've used Roku in the past. And Netflix is our mode of sitting down, relaxing, and watching content. But tell us about Netflix and maybe some things we're missing. And is pornography available on Netflix?
Absolutely. It's not always readily, you know, seen. It doesn't necessarily pop up all the time, but it can, and it does. But Netflix has some great parental controls in there. A lot of people don't realize you can go into your account settings, set a PIN, and set a rating level. And that will definitely work and be trustworthy and keep that stuff out. The fair warning on this one is that a lot of videos are not rated. And that's there's kind of two versions of a not rated or an unrated cut. Either it didn't make it to the movie theater, or it was, you know, too graphic that they didn't want to put it through the rating system. So, I joke that my mother-in-law, she really likes those, you know, English comedy, romance movies.
Yeah, yeah.
That I just have to suffer through, but it will filter those out because they're not rated.
Though they're innocent, they just haven't gone through the technical rating systems, right?
Yeah. So for example, if you go into Netflix and you set the slider, it does it by rating. So, you know, if you take it down one notch, it's going to block R-rated, unrated, X-rated, that kind of stuff. It's all grouped into one at that highest level. So, that's kind of the downside of that, but it's definitely a must for kids.
Yeah, and you mentioned before we hit record, VidAngel, which I'm a big fan of and have used. I first came across it over at Mormon Life Hacker. They did a post about it, and it's actually a Utah-based company. I need to get in and talk with them to learn more about how leaders can be familiar with it. So, you know, we're not trying to just say, well, I guess we live in a world that you can never consume media again or turn on the TV, though sometimes it feels that way. VidAngel is another option to Netflix.
Yeah, VidAngel is really cool. It gives you very granular controls. So we've used a system in our home for a number of years for filtering videos, and you know it's frustrating at times. It's kind of hit and miss, and you still have to go rent the DVD. But
yeah,
VidAngel is cool because it streams. They're on a lot of platforms. You know, we watch it on our Roku, you have to pay $20 up front to buy the movie, quote unquote, and then you sell it back for $19. So every movie costs you a dollar after that.
Because the loophole is you have to officially own the content in order to edit it, right?
That's how they're getting around the movie studio restrictions and things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. You can set filters and we watch even, you know, G's and PG's.
Yeah, I do too.
It's so convenient.
Yeah, mainly because I don't want, it's cheaper than, you know, going to a Redbox, but I have to get in my car and go out actually to the corner gas station and get the Redbox. For this, I can just do it quickly and it's
$1.
Absolutely.
And they've got a great selection.
Yeah.
That's also the downside. I mean, it doesn't have everything, but as far as new releases and things, they're really keeping up and doing a killer job.
Okay, well, these are great tips and things to consider. What about Apple's iOS? What should we consider for the Mac users out there?
Yeah, so iOS, they have parental controls built in. You can go into the settings.
And this is on your iPhone or?
Yeah, so iPhone, iPad, anything running the iOS operating system. Great question. You can go in there and you can restrict which apps can be installed. And so Kurt, to touch on that, a lot of people don't realize that you can access pornography through the App Store, right? I mean, they do their best to hide things, but most of it's user generated. You know, we talk about the dangers of Snapchat, and there's other apps that, you know, they appear to be like a calculator.
The
parent looks at the phone, looks like it's a calculator, but you get in there, you put in a certain key sequence, and it opens a
vault of
images.
Where I've never heard that.
That's scary stuff. So we highly recommend that parents keep tabs on what apps are being installed. And Apple's great. You can go in there, you can actually lock it down. So you have to put in a PIN to install apps. Mm-hmm. Now you got to realize you can also turn off Safari and, you know, the web browser, but it's not a web filter. So there's a lot of ways to access the internet, and you can't look at this as that it's going to be a source of filtering. It's really a way of keeping tabs on how the device is being used.
Gotcha.
Android's very similar. If you go to the Google Play Store where you get your apps, you can put in some restrictions on the content, you know, the rating of the app, or just once again lock it down so they can't be installed.
Perfect. Cool. And you mentioned something about calling cell providers that I thought was a great tip.
Yeah. So kind of to pull back a little bit to router limits, you know, there's a lot of solutions out there. So we're trying to unify and build one interface where you can do it all. But, you know, in the meantime, while we're working on our data plan, we point people to the cell phone providers. People don't realize that you can call in and have them put on filters for explicit content. Mm-hmm. Some of them even let you limit time of day. So bedtime, you know, shut off the data plan, because when you're doing this tech audit and looking at your home, you need to evaluate, and we didn't touch on this, but I want to mention it. You need to evaluate the access that each device has. Can it connect through Wi-Fi? Can it connect through data, right? Can you plug it in with an Ethernet cable? Because you might be locking down one channel and the kids can just switch over to another, right?
Yeah.
So you might have a great system, you know, on your Wi-Fi at home, but if they can just switch over to data, or and this comes, this hits home pretty good in Utah, but meeting houses, LDS meeting houses, they have access points, right?
Yeah.
And we have a lot of customers that say, hey, my kids are connecting to the LDS meeting house, you know? So, you know, we shut off our internet at night or whatever, and they're just connecting over because everybody knows the password.
Yeah. And so their backyard is against the church or something. Yeah. And so they can pick up the signal.
And you got to be careful, because that's what you think. You can be almost a block away sometimes and still get a pretty good signal. You know, I'm a street over from my church, and I can see the signal from it. Wow. So, yeah, that's anyway. Cell phone providers, data plans. You know, when your kids are off at school or even when they're at home, it's good to call them up. Most of them offer a free service to filter the content, and like I say, some of them let you even shut it off at night. So when your kids are up in their room, you know that they're not on the internet.
Yeah. Now, what about even with cell phone software, which are apps, but even, you know, a lot of the past solutions have been to purchase some software, whether it's free. You know, I remember recommending as a bishop the K9. Mm-hmm. I just tell people, go to Google, search K9, because that was the free software that, again, wasn't perfect, but it was a place to start. And especially if this individual didn't have money to, you know, a monthly payment or whatever it costs to get the software. But tell us about softwares that people can download. Is that a good option?
There's a lot of great software out there. And I want you to know that, you know, we absolutely love everybody that's in the anti-pornography space. It's a cause that we believe strongly in. And that's kind of leads to our affiliation with UCAP. So there's a lot of great software out there that's doing great things. It's the advantages of software is you can get very granular, right?
Yeah.
You can block, you know, like an image you can be very specific on what it is that you're blocking. But the big caveat with software is in today's age, it's not a one size fits all anymore. You know, it used to be you had a desktop computer and that was the window to the internet.
Yeah.
But nowadays, how do you install, you know, software on a PlayStation or a Nintendo Wii, both of which can be used to access pornography.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the downside. There's some great software solutions out there. There's definitely a lot of free ones. And you got to start somewhere, but you have to, once again, stepping back to the tech audit, make sure you're going through your devices and looking at each as an equal threat, if you will. Right. And locking them down appropriately.
Yeah. And that's another big problem I think I mentioned before is individuals. When I was a bishop, we were sort of that phase of going from a small minority had smartphones. And then by the time I was released, everybody had a smartphone, right? And so as I met with people in the beginning, I could say, yeah, go to K9 and, you know, download this free software. And that's gonna take care of maybe 80% of the problem, right? Or as far as the access to it. But then they would start telling me, well, I'm accessing it on my cell phone. And I'd be like, maybe you should consider not having a cell phone, like,
yeah,
maybe, or having a smartphone and going back to a flip phone, right? That isn't as easy. But nowadays, that's almost, I mean, in the culture we live in, that's asking a lot to an individual, especially a young individual who is so involved with so many apps and, you know, Facebooks and social media. That's a tough request to ask of them.
It is. And not only that, but you don't want to hinder your kids. I mean, you know, they need to know how to use those devices and, you know, they're going to end up in the real world, right? Where you need devices for work and, you know, school, and that's a tough path. And so that's kind of where our background comes in, where, you know, we're tech entrepreneurs here and we don't, you know, obviously the best solution is you don't have a cell phone, you unplug everything, you cut the cables, you know?
Yeah.
But that's not what we believe in. We believe that technology is created and invented, and it allows a lot of good. I mean, we look at all of the great things that we can get through it. And with that, you know, it's also used for evil and bad. But we believe that you can have one without the other.
Perfect. Well, let's move into and talk more specifically about what Router Limits offers, their product, how it works. But I want you to maybe start answering this question with, if you were in front of a room full of bishops, and, you know, it's goes without saying these bishops pretty regularly meet with people who are in the midst of an addiction, and you were pitching this product to them, what benefits or would you say to a room full of bishops? And from there, we can go into the more specific
sure.
features of it.
So we definitely, we believe that pornography should be, you know, filtered out of the home. And so here at Router Limits, we've created a product that allows you to do that. But a little bit wider than that too, you have to realize that, you know, what's the saying, an idle mind is the devil's workshop, right? You don't want kids just, or anybody, any member of your family, I say kids a lot, but spouse or, you know, whoever it is, you don't want them idling on the internet, right? So we also believe that the access enables addiction. The more that you have access and you don't have anything to do, the more dangerous it becomes. So we also help manage the screen time. Another thing that, as you talk to experts out there, there's those that are very serious about filtering, and there's those that are very serious about not filtering and having what they call accountability. And so we also tailor to both. We have the pornography filters, but we track all of the activity of a device, its browsing history, if you will. It doesn't matter if they're using incognito mode or they're deleting their browsing history. We're tracking that so that you can go in and review that and have a conversation. One of the pieces of advice I'd give is to those listening is, you know, you may not realize that you're dealing with pornography in your home. And that's one of the most difficult things that people run into. You know, that we sell them a product, our system, and they go home and install it and find that one of their kids is accessing pornography. And, you know, the first thing is don't freak out. I mean, curiosity happens, and kids, you know, they come into it without trying a lot of the time, but we'll have users who will plug it in and find this happening. And, you know, the first thing they do, they call us and go, this can't be right. And we'll,
yeah.
we tell them it is, but you need to have eyes on what's going on. It doesn't matter how good, you know, your kids are, how much you trust them. You know, things happen and we love to be there to start the conversation. Right. So anyway, kind of back to the bishops in the room. There's two sides to this. We recommend definitely filtering for kids. And then we leave it up to the parents if they want to filter or just hold accountable their teens, right? If you have an alcoholic and you hide all the alcohol in the house, once they get out and they find themselves in a situation where there's alcohol, there's no self-control. So that's kind of the competing philosophy there.
And what how would you describe the actual product? Like, this is a router, right? That you plug your internet into.
So we're actually a little bit unique because our entire service is based in the cloud. Our first product is a router that connects them to the cloud. You install it in your home and we make it super easy. We're not affiliated, but we like to say it's as easy as Fisher Price. You know, we try to make it that simple, right? So that anybody can do this. That was one of the key values that we wanted to offer to people, was not something difficult. The kids already understand technology, and the parents feel frustrated, intimidated. So we've tried to round the corners and make it as easy and soft as it can be. But the router connects you to our cloud service. And why that's important is because the router lives in the home, but if somebody, you know, unplugs it or destroys it or hides it, you know, all of the information that it's gathered is still available to you. Mm-hmm. It's also remotely controllable. So if you're at work and, you know, you need to pause the internet, we call it, you know, turn it off at home.
Someone's been grounded.
Yeah, and you ground your kids or, you know, they're fighting. So you can turn off their devices. And it's all device level. So you can turn off one device, but not the other. You know, the parents don't have to have the internet turn off at 10 p.m., but maybe the kids do.
Yeah.
So the other thing about that is we're coming out with mobile apps that will follow the phones out of the house and still enforce the same rules that you've applied.
Yeah, that's huge.
Because
you can, Wi-Fi is nice, but people, like you say, can just jump over to the 3G, the 4G cell service and away they go.
Absolutely. And we recognize that. And although, you know, we tell people right now, call up your cell phone provider. They don't provide as flexible of tools, and they're not. It's not the same policy that maybe that you have on your home. So we're trying to build one dashboard for all of it, and make it easy to use. And what makes our product really unique is that we shock people and say, you know, we're not a porn filter, and they kind of look at it and go, "What do you mean?" You know, and that's just one of the things we do.
Yeah,
we actually, you know, we filter. Gambling and dating sites and gaming and shopping and you think, well, why would I ever want to, you know, block some of these things? You know, there some of these, as you look through our library, they seem a little bit like, well, that's an innocent thing, but you can tailor, you can block everything but one site. Mm-hmm. So, you know, say Sunday comes around and you want to shut off the internet, but you want to allow, you know,
LDS.org
or family search or something that's, you know, set Sunday appropriate, you absolutely can do that.
Oh, that's great.
We also have a catalog of popular sites like Facebook and Twitter, and we put in, you know, Snapchat and a lot of the ones that the parents are concerned about. You can go in there with one click of a button, you can block it.
Wow. So even if they have the app on their phone,
yes,
it's blocking the app, not just...
Yeah, if it's an internet-connected app. So
okay.
if it requires an internet connection, like Snapchat, right? To send pictures to others, you have to have an internet connection. It cuts that off. Hmm. And we've made it so easy. You know, there's a lot of tools out there, and they call them whitelists and blacklists. And, you know, people don't realize that there's more than 150 ways to access Facebook. And so we're grouping that all into one easy way. And we're always up to date. Going back to being in the cloud, all of our stuff is always up to date. So, you know, there's new pornography sites every day. And by the way, we believe in blocking pornography so much and providing that tool that to help families keep that filth out of their home that we actually give that away for free. If you have our router, there's no subscription required for that. And it's always kept up to date. And that's just our way of giving back and saying, you know, this is important and you shouldn't have to pay for this.
Cool. So your business model works with, obviously you sell the actual router and the apps, but is there a subscription model behind that? Like if it was a bishop was encouraging this to somebody, what would they tell them to expect from the say, you know, this is an option, it's a paid option, but this is how it works.
Yeah. So you pick up the router and you can either pick it up off our website or you can go into a Deseret Book and pick it up for about $99. And out of the box, you get pornography filtering for life for free. You have to buy the router, but it's a great router. You install it in your home. And then we also give you visibility into the last 3 days of that browsing history I was talking about. So we give you the accountability piece and the filtering piece. And that's totally free. And then we have subscription plans that start at $9 that give you access to the time management and things. Our full feature plan is $15 a month. And that includes, you know, locking on that Google Safe Search we talked about, locking on YouTube restricted mode so that those can't be turned off, longer visibility into what's going on in your home, all of those kinds of things. Yeah. The ability to pause the internet, turn it off, like we mentioned, remotely. By the way, when we come out with the mobile apps, that's all included. We're not in charge extra for that.
Gotcha.
And that includes the pornography filtering, right? That's something we want to make sure everybody has access to, so there won't be additional charging for that either.
Perfect. Any examples you would give as far as, let's say, a spouse is in the midst of an addiction, or again, I don't want to just paint the picture that pornography is the only problem related to media and content coming in the home. I mean, even my personal desires to check my email so much, you know, there may be just this a culture that somebody wants to build in their home where it's not, screen time isn't as abundant. But how would like a couple who has a spouse that's struggling with something related to a device, how's the accountability work specifically?
So the accountability, they can get in there, and so the spouse can log in and they could look at, you know, let's say Kurt's tablet, right? Mm-hmm. And see what you've been accessing and when.
What websites and what apps as well? Or
if the apps are connecting to a website,
okay.
Yeah, if they're connecting to the internet, that's kind of the key here is we live at the connection point of the internet, where the connection comes into your home.
Okay.
That's where you're installing us. So, and she can follow up with you on, you know, what it is that you've been doing. And she could also, you know, set some time limits up. You know, she could say, all right, you can check your email between 10 a.m. and noon, and then again at between 6 and 8 at night, or whatever.
Not a bad idea.
we have some users that get pretty excited about our sports filter.
Oh, really?
For their spouse.
Oh boy, this interview's over. So you can limit like what like ESPN, like
absolutely. We actually have a sports category. You know, it's got all kinds of different sports sites in there. So. You know, you could set up and say, "Hey, you know, we're only going to let you look at sports for an hour each day." Or something.
Can you filter the specific sport? Like, I don't want to watch Ultimate Fighting or something.
No, not quite that.
Okay,
not quite that level. But if there's a specific website that is associated with the sport, you can go in and add that manually. Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, that kind of brings us back to the time management. You know, you think homework time. You could block social media or dinner time. You want to see your kids at the faces at the table and not buried in their phone. You can shut off the internet at dinner time. So
that's awesome. So you mentioned some exciting things happening with Deseret Book. This is available in Deseret Book, and that's kind of the most well-known church, you know, bookstore. I would imagine it's available at, you know, I'm thinking of the members that are in California that may not have a Deseret Book down the street, but there's still some bookstores or some LDS bookstores. I'm sure some of them have it available, but tell us about with Deseret Book and some exciting things happening there.
Yeah, Deseret Book's been a great partner for us. So they're selling it in about half their stores currently, and they're rolling them out to the rest of them this week.
And this is the week before General Conference.
It's the week before General Conference. Yeah,
in April of 2016.
Yep, for the historical record.
That's right.
And it's also available on their website. It travels with Time Out for Women. You know, they've got many shows throughout the year all across the country. One of the most exciting things that we're doing at Deseret Book that we're announcing very soon is the Deseret Book Edition. And what the Deseret Book Edition will include is LDS specific filters that can be put into play. So, you know, LDS.org, Mormon.org. There's actually quite an extensive list of LDS owned entities, right? You know, Family Search, for example. So you think, well, why would I ever want to filter those, right?
Yeah.
But that kind of goes back to the flexibility of our tool, where, you know, you could set up maybe a Sunday mode, and you could, mm-hmm. You know, on Sunday, you could block everything except for this LDS category or these specific LDS sites. So, you know, your family can still do genealogy or research for their talks and lessons, but it keeps them focused on maybe it's Sunday. You know, same thing could go for family home evening or scripture time, whatever that is. Deseret Book wants to be able to provide that to their customers so that, you know, it's a little bit more tailored to the LDS market. And there's a lot more coming down the pipe with it too. Every Deseret Book edition will always be kept up to date with the latest Deseret Book features, but they've got some other things planned too that are pretty cool.
Cool. Awesome. Well, this is probably, you know, you mentioned your entrepreneurial background and in college, and now you're in the midst of building a great business, but it's a business that comes with a lot of passion. I mean, you're not just selling cupcakes at the corner store, right? I mean, not there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that this is probably there's a lot of passion into this, and maybe just speak to that passion for a minute. What does it mean to you to build a company like this where you're helping these families and bishops and individuals overcome, whether it's addiction or just being more conscious of the media that's coming into the home?
You know, I've had a lot of jobs and you know, they've been great, but nothing beats doing something that makes a difference. You know, selling something that you can really believe in. You know, this isn't just another widget. This is something that, you know, that everybody that works here uses in their own home. And it's great to be able to empower parents. Like I say, one of my favorite things is just starting discussions. It's terrible, you know, to have to deal with pornography in the home, but it happens, and that's the reality we live in. So let's move forward, right? And let's have the conversation. It's too many times the kids are embarrassed. They hear, you know, time and time again that, you know, how bad pornography is and how to avoid it, but, you know, they find themselves in it. And whether, like I say, by curiosity, by accident, whatever it is, you know, it doesn't make them a bad person or that their desires or whatever were bad. It often is purely accident. And I love it that we can start the conversation between the kids and the parents. And then I love empowering the parents with the tools they need to take control of the internet and not feel intimidated by the devices. It's so fun. I mean, I love coming to work. I love, you know, I love talking about it. It never gets old.
That concludes my interview with Skyler Walker, the CEO of Router Limits. I encourage you to go to routerlimits.com, where you can see, that's their website, and see all sorts of information about their products and services that they provide. A really fantastic company, and it's fun to meet entrepreneurs like Skyler who are so passionate in what they're doing, and they're involved in something that can really have a positive impact on the world we live in. Again, this isn't meant to be any, you know, a long form commercial for Router Limits. My goal here is just to get as many resources as possible in front of leaders so that when they do face somebody who needs some solutions, at least they know of these things that are out there so they can point them towards them. Router Limits was kind enough to provide me with a referral link. And so if you are interested in learning more about Router Limits, I encourage you to go to leadinglds.com and find the show notes to this episode and go to Router Limits. And especially if you purchase there, they'll give a kickback to Leading LDS for supporting them. And that will further the cause of Leading LDS and what we're trying to do here. So another way to support Leading LDS. I appreciate, again, the many emails come in, individuals that are putting themselves out there to be interviewed and hopefully sharing this mission, sharing their ideas and thoughts in regards to leadership in the church. We want to enhance the ability of leadership. And so please contribute any way you can. Reach out to me and let's talk and see how we can do that. Until next time, be a leader and not a calling.